Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that was smooth. Hey. Welcome to Average Joe. This is Average Joe. We're still trying to work out the kinks on my introduction music. I was actually intending on a different track playing today, but it didn't go that way, so it caught me a little bit off guard. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on Average Joe. Today we're going to be talking about collectibles, more in my interest area, but so far as what I'm talking about, obviously, because that's what I know about. But I want you to call in and tell me what you're interested in collecting and your collectibles or what you'd like to collect, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to talk a little bit about some history of some of the things I've got on my list if I have time. It depends on how much we get covered today. It's just a 30-minute show. The call-in is 914-219-0884. Feel free to call us in at any time. I always start the show out with talking, promoting a little bit about our VFW Post 2908. They're not my sponsor. I just talk about it because I support the Post and our veterans, and I encourage you to get involved in a veterans organization. Whether you're a veteran or not, I'm not a veteran, but I'm in the auxiliary, and I'm there to support veterans of our country. And I feel very strongly about that. So anyway, just one thing. We had a very successful VW car show yesterday. We had a really good turnout. We had some good food and got to meet some cool folks that drive VWs and collect VW. That's their collectible, or at least one of them. And we had some hot dogs and hamburgers and some games and just a lot of good fellowship and just had a good time. Coming up in August, I always talk about this, August 4th, the Boots and Roots Music Festival is going to be at the Stanley County Fairgrounds. Bucky Covington is the headliner. Charlie Farley's going to be there, Daryl Harwood, Tyler Hatley and the Little Mountain Band, and Cuz Coon. The doors will open at 3 o'clock. The show starts at 4. Admission's $15. You can bring your own cooler if you want to bring some beverages of your choice, but there is a $10 charge to do that. Food will be available. There's free parking. Bring a chair. There's no seats in the center there. It's a cash-only event, and camping's available, but I think all the powered spots are taken. They may still have some primitive spots available. You can call 704-983-2913 if you want to inquire about that. And also, if you have any other questions about the event, you can call Becca, who's the promoter, at 704-984-1744. Again, August 4th at the Stanley County Fairgrounds. This is VFW Post 2908 is presenting that, and this is to raise money for our veterans. So, let's get to it. Today we're talking about collectibles. I have to say that, I like everything else. I don't know much about anything, but I do know a little bit about a lot of things. And, some of the things I collect, I know a little bit about. Don't worry, this is the only black and white radio show on the web. And so you don't have to worry about the color of your monitor or anything. It's completely black and white. So so I'm going to get right into my list. And I encourage you, again, to call in if you got anything, if you want to comment on what I'm talking about, or if you've got want to talk about your collectibles or what you'd be interested in collecting. The guest call-in is 914-219-0884. But anyway, one of the biggest things that I've collected my whole life, practically, are toys. So I started out collecting at a very young age because And the most collected thing that I collect is like Matchbox cars and Hot Wheels. The Matchbox cars, the regular Matchbox cars, and then the yesteryear versions of those are like a bigger scale version, but they're all like antique cars, like Model Ts and old Cadillacs and old cars. I lost my thought, train of thought there. Hot Wheels cars. I have a 1957 T-Bird Hot Wheel that I remember getting in the second grade in school. So that's how long I've had that car. And I'm 56 years old, so you do the math. That's about, 50 years old. There's a lot of other versions, and I'm going to get into more details on some of this, but I'm just kind of going through the list here. There's a lot of other collectibles. I collect some of the larger versions of diecast cars. There's Franklin Mint, which are the more pricey versions. There's Danbury Mint. And then I even have a collection of Batmobiles that is made by Corgi. Corgi makes a lot of diecast cars, and they have for a long time. As a matter of fact, they've been around probably about as long as Matchbox has. There's Motor Max, there's Welly, there's Maisto, and then there's Ertl, the ERTL. You may be familiar with that. As a matter of fact, I have a 1957 Chevy Stake truck that I got at Lowe's, and it actually has like the Lowe's logo on the door like it's a Lowe's truck. And then the back of the Stake side body, it has like a case knife. So it's a really cool collectible. I bought one for myself, and then I bought my dad one for Christmas because he likes to collect knives. That's one thing I was going to mention today that can be collected is knives. And I'm gonna sidebar for just a minute since I strolled upon that. My dad has or had, but the collection still exists, one of the nicer knife collections I've ever seen. He presents them in between the spokes of a wagon wheel coffee table that was actually made from my great grandfather's wagon. And Daddy started collecting them several years ago, and none of them are worth really a whole lot of money. Some of them are worth more than others. Most of them were gifts. Some of them he picked up at auctions or flea markets or whatever, but there's a lot of people that's given them to him, including me and my brother and my mom. We've always enjoyed, that was always one thing we could buy for Dad that we knew he'd like, was a new knife to add to his collection. So back to the number to call is 914-219-084. I promised myself I wasn't going to say so much today. There's also Gearbox Collectible, which is a company that makes, and I got a 53 Ford tow truck. Now, these are like 1/24 scale, and it's actually got the Citgo logo on it, and that's where it came from, was one of the Citgo stores. And I bought myself one, and I bought my dad one of those, too, because I thought he would really think he would like that, because he liked old cars and stuff, too. And then, of course, there's Tonka. Some of the older Tonka trucks and equipment and stuff are very collectible and worth quite a bit if you've got some of the older steel versions. I don't have any of mine left, unfortunately, but a good friend of mine that still collects diecast, he's got some of his that he actually restored, and they're very nice. Another thing that I collected, and I don't really have of anymore, was G.I. Joe stuff. I had quite a bit of G.I. Joe gear, and I didn't really know what I had, and most of it was in the attic when I was living at home, and unfortunately, my mom didn't know what I had either as far as the worth of it, because it was like the 11-inch, the older 11-inch dolls, and she gave it away for a charitable yard sale event, so at least it went to a good cause, I hope. I would imagine if she gave it to him, it was a good cause. I had a little Jeep and had some other vehicles, helicopters and stuff, and it was a really nice nice little collection. I wish I still had it. Another thing that a collection that was started for me was collectibles from the movie Christmas Story. My whole family knows that that's my favorite Christmas movie. And so it started out with my daughter. My youngest daughter bought me the leg lamp. It's a miniature version. It's only about maybe 2 feet tall, but she bought me that. And then another daughter bought me some bobbleheads. And then the next year, I think I got some glasses with the characters on them and all that stuff. So that was a collection that was started for me. But that's cool. I mean, I like that movie. So speaking of movies, I do collect movies. I mean, between Above Average Joe and myself, I don't know how many hundreds of movies that we own, but we have got enough movies to watch movies for a long time before we would have to start seeing the same movie over again. Something a little less toy-like that I have collected for most of my life is coins. My grandfather actually gave me my first coin, which is a 1922 silver dollar, and he collected some coins. He didn't have a huge collection, and I don't either, but ever since then, I have collected a few coins here and there, nothing crazy valuable or anything, but one thing that I do and have done, those of you that know me personally know that I have six grandsons. And so what I started doing was my father and my Above Average Joe's father was born in 1928 and our mothers were born in 1931. So we give our boys when they were born, the first Christmas or the second one or whichever, just soon after they were born, we gave them a 1928 silver dollar. And then the following year we gave them a 1931 50-cent piece, which was also silver, but they didn't make silver dollars in 1931 because of the Depression. So we just gave them a 50-cent piece, which was kind of cool. And so that was kind of a tradition. And then we also gave them all a silver dollar that was actually made the year that they were born, so a newer silver dollar. And then I also, I've got two son-in-laws, and I give them silver dollars every year for Christmas, depending for whatever year it is. And I have to buy myself one, of course, as well, you know, to have my own silver dollar. So we've started collecting quite a few of those. And the cool thing about silver dollars or any kind of silver coins is if things ever get crazy and there's, everything falls off the grid, you can always trade silver, you know, and it'll be worth a whole lot more than a dollar, I promise you, because those, it's an ounce of silver. Each silver dollar is an ounce of silver. So whatever, right now an ounce of silver is probably around $20. So a silver dollar is actually worth about $20 right now, and it'll go up if things get crazy. But just want to remind you to call in. Call 914-219-0884. I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to move on. I know I'm going pretty quickly here, but it's only a 30-minute show. Here's a few things that Above Average Joe collects, and I don't know a whole lot about the stuff that she collects as far as the details like she does, of course, but she collects milk glass. That's probably her biggest collection of anything. She knows all about milk glass. I mean, she's got milk glass everything. She also collects angels, mostly seraphim angels. Very nice pieces. She hasn't really been collecting them recently, but that was something that we always knew we could give her, you know, was an angel. She would always be excited about getting a new angel, especially a seraphim angel. And then also she collects just antiques in general. She likes to She's always looking on, you know, on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or whatever to see what kind of goodies she can find. And she also is looking in shops and things like that. I kid her about this, but she collects shoes too. I don't know if that's really a hobby, but she has a lot of shoes. I have to tease her about that. But and another thing is original art. If you come into our house, there's a lot of photographs, but there's also quite a bit of original art. So it looks like we got a caller. I'm gonna take this call if I can. Let's see here. I have to. Okay, let's see. Hello, caller. This is Average Joe.
Hello, Average Joe. This is J.R. Griffin. How you doing, Stan Rogers?
Hey, J.R. You're going to be considered a regular guest on the show.
Cool. Thank you
I
for
think,
taking my call. I mean, I kept calling in. It's like busy, busy, busy. I mean, man, I'm thinking I'm never going to get through anymore. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Good,
man,
good.
You brought tears to my eyes. You started talking about Hot Wheels and some of those cars and the Tonkas. And do you remember the old Sizzlers? Did you ever remember they had like a gas pump that was you had a couple of like four batteries in it and you charged it up and they'd run on their own?
Was that
Maybe
a Hot Wheels product?
Thing. I don't know if it was. It might have been, but now. I just remember you could charge them, and then you had a track, and they would just run and run and run.
Seems like I do remember a product like that, and I think it was made by Hot Wheels, but I don't remember what it was called Sizzler. I mean, I'll take your word for it. They had several products. They had one that had like this device that was on the track that would since the cars would roll so well. As long as they had enough, energy to make it around the track, they'd come into this little gate, and it would have, like, this little spinning wheel that would basically, you know, catapult them through again, and they would just keep going, you know. A lot of times it would catapult them right off the track, you know, if you had
right.
a curve too soon.
Right. No, that's true. That's probably the same one. That's what I'm thinking there. But, man, talking about Hot Wheels. And, you know, kids today – If they would buy stuff today and buy a couple extra, or, you know, one extra and put it up, could you imagine what it would be worth by the time they're our age?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, if I could find that old goofy school bus lunch box that I carried in first grade, man, with that thermos inside, that would be so awesome.
Yeah, yeah, those metal lunch boxes.
Yeah.
Mine was the land of the giant.
Those were the days, man.
Yeah.
Well, listen. You're talking about we're talking about collectibles, and you were talking about coins, and I too collect coins.
Cool.
I used to really be into it, but I'm not as much now. I still buy them, and just put them up, you know, because one day I'm going to divide them up for my grandkids, of course.
Right.
But, you know, some of those dates that you were talking, those are that's pretty awesome. What we did for our children is when they were born, I bought a complete proof set for them. Yes, you know, that's the silver half, the quarter, the dime, the nickel, and the penny.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just hit me. I need to do that for you know, I have six grandchildren, so I need to do that for them too.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
yeah,
I
love
a,
coins.
I think I'm behind on the last one. Our youngest grandson, I did get him a silver dollar this year, but I've still got to get him the 50-cent piece, you know, for my mom's birth year, and then also the silver dollar for his birth year.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, I never thought about that, but I'm definitely going to talk to Deb about that. That's something that I think that's a great idea. But one more thing that I do collect. Other than coins, and I've got a collection of guns, which I inherited those guns from my dad, of course. But
right.
I also collect Rookwood pottery, and I don't know how many people from the South are familiar with Rookwood, but some people are and some people are not. But it's just something that, you know, the glazes and potteries. That's one of my passions, and I had the privilege to work for Rookwood when. know, they started like in 1894 in Cincinnati, and they went out of business in the 40s, and then they were bought out, and they tried it and tried it and tried it, and then finally in 67 they shut down what everybody thought was for good. But then in around 2006, some investors in Cincinnati bought all the assets from the original Rookwood, and they hired me to go in and develop their glazes and stuff for their pottery. And I was fortunate enough to spend 2 years there and working with them, and I've been collecting ever since. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure obviously that has a lot of sentimental value to you just because you got so much history with them, but to an average collector, are those worth quite a bit to collect those? Or
Some are. Anything that was pre-1960 would be. But after the 60s, they moved that plant to Starksville, Mississippi, and then the value just went down. And then in 60, I think it was 67, it closed up until these investors bought everything and brought it back to Cincinnati. So what they're making now doesn't have the same value of what they made back then. But I mean, I probably have 30 or 40 pieces that's dated 1930 or before, and they have some value to it. Not that I would ever sell it; something that I would just pass on to family members. But you know, it does have a special place in my heart. It just does.
Well, that's awesome, JR. Well, thanks for sharing that. I know a lot of people collect guns too, and I usually don't talk about. I don't want to extract that information out of people because, you know, I don't really think it's a good idea to be broadcasting out to the world how many, you know, how well armed we are.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
But I think you know everybody knows that in America there's a lot of guns, and we'll just leave it at that. But anyway. I know you guys have an old car too, don't you?
Yeah, we have that the 66 Chevrolet Impala, and we have a 65 Chevrolet Bel Air, which you know we gave to our grandson, and we're both in the process of working on them as we can and as time permits.
Yeah. I think if I was a wealthy man, that's what I would be collecting. I would be like a Jay Leno, and I would, you know, if no money were no object. I just love old cars, and I guess that's one reason I like Matchbox and Hot Wheels so much, is I can, that fits my budget better, you know.
Yep. Now, the Matchbox, that was the other one. Matchbox and Hot Wheels, those were the cars back in the day. Well, Stan, I thank you very much for taking my call. I don't want to use up all your time, but again, I seen your father's knife collection. It's awesome, and again, I want to wish Mr. Chewett a happy birthday in heaven. He was a great man and a really good friend of mine, and I love the man dearly, and your mother too.
Well, thank
and
you so
wife.
Much, JR. I know
bet,
that they think the world of you as well, so. But thanks again for calling in, JR, and hopefully we'll hear from you next week.
You will, ma'am.
All right.
Thanks, Dan. See you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, that was nice to hear from JR again. He called in last week, and he's one of our new listeners and a good friend of mine. We've known each other for a pretty good while now, and we enjoy having some good conversations. So I'm gonna go back and just kind of follow up. I pretty much went through most of what I collect, and I didn't really get into to what I'd like to collect so much because, again, you know, money is an issue. And then, of course, how many things can you collect? I mean, you're going to have to start collecting warehouses if you get too much stuff. But so a little history on Matchbox cars. I'm going to talk about Matchbox history a little bit and Hot Wheels. And since JR mentioned that in his a response to my, you know, collectibles. I guess this will go good. We've got about 5 more minutes. You're welcome to call in 914-219-0884. But anyway, Matchboxes, they started around 1952 was actually when the first Matchbox was made or sold, and they sold about a million of them in 1952. And you're not going to believe this, what the first Matchbox vehicle was. And I say vehicle because it wasn't a car, it wasn't a truck. It was actually the coronation coach of the Queen of England. Matchbox were actually manufactured in Lesney, England, and the coronation coach was the first Matchbox vehicle, and that really surprised me. I was doing a little research this week about Matchbox, and when I read that and saw a couple of videos about it, I was like, wow, I would have never imagined that. Of course, I mean, knowing that they're from England originally, the original Matchbox cars were made in England. Unfortunately, they're not anymore. They're imported from China or some other country. But the original Matchboxes from England, the reason they were called Matchboxes was because the box they came in looked like a Matchbox. And they were about the size, of course, if they fit in the box. So the way they would make these cars, they would actually build a prototype, just the first one to work out the detail, and they had drawings. They were so detailed. They would build the prototype. They would actually make a wood model that would be five times scale, and then they would make a mold from that, and then they would scale it back down to the correct size, and then they would manufacture. They were actually die-cast. Cars, and they were, they would die cast the different parts and put them together, paint them. They were spray painted and all that. And that's kind of the brief version. Hot Wheels, Mattel, Elliot Handler, who was running Mattel at the time, the toy company, he saw how much success that Matchbox was having, because they were selling, tens of millions of these cars. Probably everybody listening to me right now, especially if you're a boy, and probably girls too, probably own some Matchbox cars. But Elliot saw their success, and he had just had a huge success with the Barbie doll, and that was one thing I forgot to mention for Above Average Joe, is she did collect Barbie dolls. But anyway, so he saw his kids, his grandkids actually playing with Matchbox cars, and he decided, I need to get in on that market. So he noticed how the old Matchbox cars, how they were just didn't roll very well, so he made it his goal to make the fastest rolling Matchbox cars, not Matchbox cars, but die-cast cars. And so he made, his designers came up with an axle that was made out of music wire, and it actually had a built-in torsion bar system made out of that wire, so that their suspension actually flexed a little bit. So I'm running out of time here, but his first models, they had 16 models, came out in 1968, and they were as follows. They were the Fleetside, the Barracuda, the Camaro. These were all custom models, by the way. They weren't just stock cars, they were hot rods. Camaro, Corvette, Cougar, Eldorado, Firebird, Mustang, the T-Bird, the Volkswagen, the Deora, the Ford J car, the Hot Heap, the Python, the Silhouette, and the Beatnik Bandit. Those of you that collected them would probably know some of those more obscure names were. But thank you for listening to Average Joe today. We've got about a minute here. We've been talking about collectibles today. I appreciate JR calling in today and talking to us and listening to us. Appreciate all of you listening today. We will be back next week. Usually I don't know what we're going to be talking about until later in the week, so when you look for my post on Facebook, and you'll see that. But in the meantime, I hope you all have a great evening, and we'll see you next weekend.